I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On with Mario Lopez.
What's up, y'all? Mario Courtney Lopez joining me now in studio with a taco.
Hey!
From the Masked Singer Dancing with the Stars, Mr. Tom Bergeron. Welcome back to the show,
Hello,
pal.
My friend. How are you?
I'm well. Now, I love that you were the taco.
Me too.
Okay?
Me too.
Let's taco about it.
Hello.
Did you have a personal connection to the taco costume? What was the significance of that?
None. To both
do you
questions.
Like tacos?
I consume them regularly, okay. But I was the last person cast. Izzy was executive producing when you did Dancing, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, she's executive producing Masked Singer.
Rob Wade is over at
Yeah, Rob
Fun.
Is the head
yes,
of reality now.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
We knew them when, Mario. We knew them when. So Izzy saw that I had sung a tune for a Mr. Rogers tribute album. And she called me and said, look, I saw you sang the song. This might be daft, but would you be interested in Masked Singer? I said, hey, if I could reunite with all you guys, sure. She said, we only have 2 costumes left because you're the last person for Group B.
So they're limited in their costumes.
Well, they had cast everybody else for that group. The only 2 left were the taco and a jellyfish.
Nobody wants to be a jellyfish. They sting.
No, they do. And they just looked, you know, it looked weird. And not that this didn't look weird, but it was more adorably weird.
Right. Yeah. No, everybody loves a taco.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Here, I thought this was really cool. Some of the guesses were Alec Baldwin and Regis Philbin.
Yes.
2 very cool people, right?
Yeah,
there. Did anyone come close to guessing?
The most flattering guesses were, especially after the Sinatra tune, Harry Connick Jr., Michael Bublé, things like that.
Yeah.
The closest was Robin in that first show I did when he guessed Saget, Bob Saget, although he didn't take the height differential into account.
Right.
But I thought they were getting so close then that they would nail it, and nobody did. Even, I mean, you know, I know Robin, I know Nicole, I know Jenny from years ago, and didn't get it.
Wow. What song would you have sang next?
Well, had I gone on, I would have gone back to the Bublé, Connick, Sinatra songbook. That's sort of where I'm more
You're
comfortable.
A standards guy.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
like it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, I've got some range, but it's, you know, Celine Dion isn't threatened.
How hard was it to keep the secret?
It's not that hard. Well, from people outside the show, to give you a little backstory, we have 2 daughters. When my wife was pregnant with our first daughter, I wanted to find out the sex and she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So the ultrasound towards the end of the first term, the doctor pulled me aside, told me you're having a girl. Lois at that point wanted to be surprised. So for 6 months,
you kept a secret.
I kept the secret from my own wife, what sex she was carrying.
And you never slipped.
There was one time that I accidentally put a female pronoun out there,
mm-hmm.
and I engineered a call to a friend. We were living in the Boston area. I engineered a call to a friend out here and wove the conversation, which I knew she was listening to that very question. And I lied and I said, well, you know, Chuck, I change male and female pronouns all the time.
Right.
So she thought, oh, I guess he does. I never had.
Right.
But
right.
she bought into that revisionist history. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. All three of our kids, we waited to find out.
Did you?
We did wait to find out. It took some convincing at first because I wanted to know. I didn't want to know, and then you did want to know.
Correct, the first one.
Yeah.
Because you think you want to prepare and there's so many things that you need to do. But after, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. So the other two, we were just like, yeah, whatever. And we just waited.
So were you surprised in any of those three cases?
I thought the first one was a boy.
Yeah.
I was convinced it was a boy and she was a girl.
You know how I convinced Lois deviously that it was a boy? I was hosting a daily live talk show in Boston at the time. It was like Oprah, kind of Phil Donahue, different topic every day. One of the shows was circumcision, pro or con.
Oh.
And I brought home the material and...
Happens to be a subject I'm very familiar with.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. What was
well,
the result
took a
of
turn.
What was the result of, yeah, circumcision with Tom Bergeron?
Put your pants back on. Yeah.
Show and tell.
So I...
Because other than Jewish, the Jewish faith and
public... But anyway...
Yes, go on.
I made out that I was even more uncomfortable with the whole conversation, so she presumed, oh, we must be having a boy, and he's wrestling with whether we do this or not. Which was perfect. So, yeah, she thought it was going to be a boy.
That's funny. You did a whole subject matter.
Oh, yeah. Just to I was Machiavellian with it. Yeah.
Right. And you actually have sang before. You were on the Mr. Rogers tribute album.
Right.
How'd that come together?
That was, you know, it was funny. I was asked first if I would do a companion video to kind of host the behind the scenes. Like, you know, you see in the extras when you get a movie on Apple TV or something. And I agreed to do that. And then out of the blue, I got an email from the producer, Dennis Scott, asking if I sang. And I was sitting, I had just had a training session. I was sitting in the parking lot of a Whole Foods eating a gluten-free pizza. And I say, well, you know, I can. So I brought up my voice memo on my iPhone and Googled some Mr. Rogers lyrics and a cappella sang into the voice memo. Sent it to him.
Wow.
About an hour later, he gave me three song choices.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. And so that, you know, that turned out to be a lot of fun.
Well, that's
And
fun.
It led to this. Really.
Yeah, exactly. So Group C kicks off this week. Do you know anything about what's in store next?
No, I don't. Nor do I know who my companions in Group B were. They're amazing with the security. I'm absolutely.
So you're really isolated.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
when
yeah.
you get there, do they cover you immediately in your car?
Like, even before, it's in the car before you drive on the lot. I had, the driver shows up, I had a mirrored visor mask, a hoodie, gloves.
Like espionage.
Like it really was. And they follow you all the time. And
really?
The irony for me is they shoot Masked Singer where we did we do Dance with the Stars. So I was home, but I...
You couldn't be home.
Yeah, I was like, hidden homecoming.
That's funny. Yeah. So, well, speaking of which, let's talk a little dancing. What do we know so far about this coming season?
Nothing.
Really?
No official pickup yet.
Okay.
I even reached out to one of the execs saying, hey, I'm going to be doing press this week. What should I say? Didn't hear back.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I mean, my assumption is it'll be back in the fall, but it's not real till it's real.
And it seems that for a few seasons, some of the fan favorites or best dancers were leaving earlier. Just weren't getting the votes. Does the show try to address that, or is it just one of those things like it is what it is?
No, I think they did try to address it last season. They gave the judges that that extra little power at the end of the show to pick from the bottom two. I don't know that it. The downside of the new approach was that the West Coast couldn't vote.
Right.
So I think I would presume anyway, if we come back, that they're still looking at ways to make that a little bit more palatable for everybody.
Right. Yeah. What a run, huh?
Yeah, 15 years.
That's unbelievable. Crazy.
You were season three.
Very good.
Season
three.
And
it's funny because we were talking about the producers that worked on the show. So Rob Wade, one of the producers, is now running Fox.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Paul Telegdi.
All right. Is it running NBC?
Is running NBC. He's my boss.
He's your boss. Yeah. Yeah.
Running NBC. But it's so funny that they all came from that show. And it's like the Brits sort of just took over. Huh?
Yeah.
It's like the Beatles.
Yeah.
They invaded.
Well, exactly. And the show itself is a transplant from England, from Strictly Come
That's
Dancing.
That's true. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
Which
right.
still, every year, Bruno's still doing that. Len stopped
right?
doing
it. Right. He flies like every week.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He does our show on a Monday during the fall. And then he flies to England either Tuesday or Wednesday, does their show on Saturday, gets back on a plane Sunday and does our show on Monday.
Oh my gosh, he must be exhausted.
He is.
But he still has that energy.
He sure does.
Mario, and then let me tell you, he's just like a cartoon character. I love him.
He's exhausted, but he's rich.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you believe Mario should have won his season?
Oh, way to put him on the spot.
I'll tell you.
You told me to ask.
No, so stupid. I often say season 3 was my favorite season.
I'll take that. No, all right. Thank you.
And what was unique about that season at that stage was watching an NFL guy suddenly become a dancer. And as we were getting closer, because it's, you must have at some point thought, I got this locked.
No. But I mean, if we're going by pure ability, right?
Yeah. And my perception was that Emmett was like, you know, the tortoise and the hare kind of thing. He was suddenly gaining and gaining. And we were in the elevator at CVS where we shot the show. And I said, Emmett, you just seem to be getting more relaxed as we get closer to the finale. And he just kind of held up his Super Bowl ring and said, I've dealt with stress.
That was the thing, Tom. I just need one Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, exactly.
One Super Bowl ring. Yeah. I think I would have been in there right there. That's great to hear about season 3. Thank you.
No, it's true.
Thank you for that.
It's true.
This is a fun fact. This is kind of cool. Your first interview back in the day was with Mo Howard of the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
I love the Three Stooges. Well, how did that come about?
Well, I was, and by the way, to link it to the Masked Singer, there was a clue of a hairpiece. Uh-huh. If you look at that clue, that's Mo's hair. That's the haircut Mo had. So I was 16 years old at my parents' home, my childhood home, and I cold called L.A. Now, this is Haverhill, Massachusetts. I cold called L.A. My folks were out, and I knew two of the Three Stooges were alive. And this is early 70s. And I was looking for either one, Larry or Mo, called information. I got a number for a Larry Fine. Oh. Now, it can't be that easy. Called that number. A woman answered the phone and said, oh, we get these calls every so often.
It wasn't him.
It's not him. Okay. But we know where he is. Oh. He's at the motion picture home in Woodland Hills. So I called there. The switchboard answered. I'll get him. My heart's beating like a jackhammer. Guy comes back on the phone, says, Larry's playing poker right now. He's got a good hand. Can you call in half an hour?
That's hilarious.
So I called
and you just
back.
Said who you were?
Yeah, I'm a fan. And I had my cassette tape recorder and all this.
Now they would go.
Yeah, exactly. So I call back. Larry comes on. He's recovering from a stroke. You can hear a little bit of that issue, but very clearly himself. About 10 minutes in, he goes, I swear to God, you want Mo's number?
Really?
He gave me Mo's home phone number.
Oh my God.
That's the coolest story ever.
And I ended up recording interviews with both of them on Howard's Sirius XM channel, Howard Stern. We turned those interviews into a special called The Lost Stooges. So you can hear me at 16 sounding like I'm 40 interviewing Mo and Larry.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I would like to check that out.
Yeah, it's
That's
really
so cool.
It was such a treat. And we transferred the quarter-inch tapes, which I had transferred from cassettes, to digital for the special, and the Mo thing held up pretty well, but the reel-to-reel on the Larry interview was actually falling apart as we made the transfer,
so
we really only had one pass at that.
Oh, wow.
But the Mo interview sounds like he just walked off a soundstage.
That's incredible.
That's such a cool story. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
All right, Tom, before we let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers, okay? Go-to karaoke song.
Don't do karaoke.
Never do karaoke?
No. Although now I might. I might bring my
little...
You should.
I
just did a singing show.
I might bring a taco costume to a karaoke bar.
See, the move I like, Tom, is I don't like the public karaoke because somebody can record you in the whole deal.
Yeah.
I like the Korean karaoke style.
I do karaoke.
You do karaoke. You're like James Corden.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm good with that too. Yeah. That or the private rooms with friends, that's the move there. Movie you can quote the most.
Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, you're a Trekkie.
I was on Enterprise, two episodes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's another fun fact.
Check out Enterprise Season 1. The episode is called Oasis. The very opening scene is this alien trader of exotic goods having dinner with the captain, the engineer, and the Vulcan science officer. That's me.
Is that you?
In 4.5 hours of makeup.
Wrath of Khan. Wow.
Yeah.
Wrath of Khan, that was with Ricardo Montalban?
Right.
Yes, right. I remember that. That was
Gone!
A good one. That
Gone!
Was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one. Celebrity crush growing up.
Sally Field.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I love her.
You gotta remember, I'm almost 65.
No. I just don't get Sally. What? Just from Gidget.
She's
okay.
So cute. Yeah. What do you mean?
She was super cute.
From Smokey and the Bandit?
No, I lied. No, she was cute. She's cute. Right. I wouldn't say crush. I'd say more like Raquel Welch. No. Sophia Loren.
No, I had to think.
We were more like Marianne than Ginger.
I didn't. Oh, yeah.
See? Okay, I got you. I get your style, okay? Right. We got along great.
Raquel Welch, I would feel like I'm punching above my weight. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to fight out of your weight class.
That's right.
Okay. Go to cocktail.
I'm not as much of a drinker, and I'm more into IPAs now.
Okay.
My niece is my professor of beer, who's sitting over there. But if I go hard alcohol, it's usually a vodka soda. Tito's and club soda.
Sure. Dream casting for Dancing with the Stars.
I've often said this. I would like Tom Hanks... and that retired Pope. Because what's he doing?
That's right. He's got a lot of time.
What's he doing?
He's got a lot of time, yeah, right? Pope Benedict?
You know, he's still around.
He's still around.
You know, he's probably just hanging out at the Vatican, looking like
he's well rested,
looking like a fifth wheel,
right? I like that.
Yeah.
Who would you cast to play you in the Tom Bergeron story?
You know who I would love to see play me? Steve Coogan.
Steve Coogan
is a British comedian and is brilliant. And he recently did a Laurel and Hardy film Stan Laurel.
Yes. Yeah. I would just
love to show up on set and hang out with Steve Coogan.
So you say, okay.
Yeah.
You never know. We might see that. Thank you so much for taking the time to come
in. Pleasure.
Always nice to catch up.
Great
glad
to
you got
you.
To meet Mrs.
Yes,
Lopez.
So nice to meet you.
Really?
The Masked Singer.
He punched above his weight.
I did. I outkicked the coverage right there. Masked Singer airs tonight on Fox. Big thanks to Tom. Thank you again,
you
sir.
Bet,
on with Mario Lopez.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.